Elsewhere in the state, NCAA President Mark Emmert delivered a speech about the NCAA and recent policy changes to the Knight Commission. And this was in North Carolina earlier today, and a lot of people watching this, if for no other reason than the NCAA back in the news very much in the last couple of weeks following the conclusion with no sanctions of the seven-year-long investigation into UNC. WCHL's Blake Hodge, our news director, was listening to the speech earlier today, joins us now. What went down?
I've kind of been distracted by the lethargic raccoon.
It was a lethargic raccoon.
Is that better than an active raccoon? If you were to run into a raccoon, I
imagine
you would
rather...
I mean,
if it's a rabid raccoon, then I would prefer lethargic to active.
That's true. Anyway,
yeah.
The Knight Commission has a lot of North Carolina ties.
No segue whatsoever.
Just get into it. Knight Commission has a lot of, speaking of lethargic raccoons, the NCAA.
There you go.
The Knight Commission does have a lot of North Carolina ties built all out
it
of...
It digs into garbage, but it doesn't really do a whole lot with them. Yeah, that's
but
fair.
But this was the Knight Commission meeting that was held. It's the fall meeting. It was held in Washington, D.C. today, and they're still... they're still going with with different events from throughout the day, press conferences and things. But Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, was speaking this morning about the FBI investigation into college basketball as a whole and the money that's been funneled from allegedly shoe companies through assistant coaches and other people to get students, players to certain schools and then signing with certain financial advisors in some cases and things like that. So he was talking about that. And then also talking about the amount of research that the NCAA does into public opinion polls and things like that. And also the UNC news that came out a couple of weeks ago now that they would be getting no further sanctions regarding the academic investigation going on to the paper class scandal at the university. And he started off by saying that there's obviously an agreement, disagreement about right or wrong choice based off of that committee ruling. He said that everybody that was on the committee was made up of extraordinary people and that they were caught in a position where they were not happy with the decision that they ended up having to make. And he pointed out again to some of that public opinion research saying that there's a very small portion of Americans that believe UNC was held accountable here. And then he presented a few other questions back to kind of rhetorical questions back to the group in terms of things to think about moving forward. One of those being, what do we want to hold each other accountable for? The NCAA is made up of member institutions, so they're all kind of policing each other in some of these cases. But in terms of academic rigor, that is always left to the university. And when fraud occurs, and that word specifically, academic fraud, that's a determination in the NCAA's purview that's made at the university level.
Right.
And that's been the crux of all of this, of whether UNC was saying this was academic fraud, then you now the NCAA would have the purview to levy sanctions with the argument that UNC put forward that they were legitimate classes. They didn't meet UNC standards, and so they put in X number of reforms to make sure that doesn't happen again, but they made sure to steer clear of that fraud word that some people, you know, whether it was strategy or lawyering or whatever, ended up with the result that they got earlier this
month. I think
it
was strategy and lawyer, right?
Yeah. The lawyer's strategy. It could be both.
Be honest, right? So talking about this, and Mark Emmert speaking today to the Knight Commission, and it raises the question when he says, what do we want the NCAA's purview to be? It kind of reminds me of the situation where a university in UNC did this back in 1934 when this NCAA investigation first began, like all those many years ago. I think this was, 2010, 2011, something like that, where they self-imposed some penalties in the hopes that that would either lead the NCAA to say, okay, well, we'll accept those penalties and won't give you any more, or they'll mitigate the penalties that they would give. And it seems to me that the NCAA, just the existence of the NCAA, is that exact same thing one step up, that the NCAA is and has the jurisdiction that the member universities and the institutions want it to have.
Exactly, right.
Which is to say that the institutions have an incentive to make the NCAA just barely powerful enough to keep an even more powerful agency from stepping in, but no more powerful than that.
Right.
And in that sense, it seems to be doing exactly exactly the right, exactly what the member institutions want.
Yeah, and the self-imposed things that you were talking about, of course, you know, the academic part of this investigation was really the last 3 years, I guess. Back before that, it was the impermissible benefits mm-hmm. from outside of that world that were kind of started this whole thing. So that was kind of the pivotal point thinking about higher education and the NCAA moving forward that Emmert was putting today. It's NCAA versus accrediting agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that an accrediting agency is going to be able to do that's on any type of gradual scale. I mean,
no.
They put UNC on probation for a year, which doesn't really, beyond that, it's basically shutting the university
down.
Yeah, then
they can put the university on probation for another year, and that's
right.
About
if they're,
it.
If they're not happy with the way things were moving at that point.
And they can remove accreditation, but they won't do that to an established university.
And he called that the nuclear bomb of accreditation. It's basically shutting the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill down.
Which you would never do if U.S. News is coming out with a ranking saying, this is the number 30 school in America, and we're going to shut you down. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, so that's the point moving forward.
I guess until the day it does.
The Committee on Infractions, hamstrung was the word that he used to talk about this, and they did what they felt like the bylaws and guidelines kind of limited them to do in this case. And it all comes back to the universities policing themselves in this type of higher education world, academia, of saying we're going to hold ourselves to this standard and this is what this is and this is what it isn't, versus the NCAA's purview and what it is right now, and an accrediting agency, which has a lot more power in terms of what it could ultimately bring, but what's going to have to rise to a certain level to bring that result is much different than what we've seen at UNC so far, certainly, and whether the public has any interest or confidence in the NCAA moving forward, they certainly don't right now. Mark Emmert doesn't feel that the public has any confidence in the NCAA.
Yeah, and he's right. I mean, to be perfectly honest. So what happens next? Like, how do we? Because right now, and I've said this on a couple of different occasions, and I still think I'm right. I know, right? But like, willing to be proven wrong on this, but so far I haven't seen anything. Is that we're basically on the honor system. We're in a situation where no one really has any oversight authority, and it's up to the universities to police themselves, and that's all well and good until you start talking about a situation, and we're there with the revenue sports, with basketball and football, where there is so much money and power flying around that there is going to be corruption. You know there is. And in much the same way that we're seeing it in Washington, D.C. today, with people getting indicted for having committed improper acts behind the scenes, like, you know that's going to happen in government, and you know it's going to happen in big time college sports
as
well.
It's going to happen in anything.
When the money gets to be as big as it is, when you start to assume that it's going to happen, and we're still on the honor system.
Yeah,
which
and he
is
was Emmert was talking about this today, that whenever the NCAA was founded back in the early 1900s, 1805, I think it was, that,
and it was in response to
there was only. Only 50 years ago, the NCAA got any type of kind of jurisdictional authority over these things, which was created because of, at that point, scandalous things that were going on at the university level. So it's always been a police yourself model because it's academia, and that's kind of the world that it lives in the United States. And then it has evolved as well. So he did express hope that there would be continued evolution into new policies, a reform of policies that are on the books to extend whatever type of authority the NCAA may have. But it's up to the member institutions to make those changes and make that decision of what, again, this is Emmert's question, what do we want to hold each other accountable for? And that's what it's going to come down to, and them taking concrete steps from the member institutions to either expand or say, this is what we want you to do. Because he started, the whole question has been, just get rid of the NCAA, start a new thing. And he said, okay, well, what are the things that you are going to have to do under that model? And as he lists them off, he said, that sounds a lot like the NCAA. So it's either step up to the plate as a member institution and say, this is what I want to be able to hold you accountable for as well, or else this is the world we live in.
Yep.
Right. So we'll see where they move on from here. It was an interesting conversation, certainly.
All right. We'll keep following that. Blake Hodge, thank you so much.